Hi, Sean, how's it going?
Not too bad. You first, I suppose, came into contact with the Middle East when you went to college there. Why did you make the decision to go to college there?
Well, kind of for professional reasons. I had spent 4 years at the Leinster Leader, a newspaper in Kildare, which I really loved that job. But I wanted a challenge and something different. And Ireland was a very different place then. You could walk out of a job because you knew you could probably get a job in a few months' time afterwards. I wouldn't so much make that decision now.
Yeah.
So I wanted to do, like, the Palestinian-Israeli conflict is probably the biggest news story in the world, maybe apart from Iraq. So I thought by going there, I'd get freelance work. So it was kind of mainly professional, but also I had a long-standing interest in the conflict as well, particularly the plight of the Palestinians.
And when you got there, was it the way you expected it to be?
No. Well, in some ways it was. Like, I had some preconceived ideas, and a lot of those preconceived ideas were backed up by reality. But the one thing that struck me that I didn't expect was just the variety of life there on both sides, both the Israeli and the Palestinian side. Like, every Israeli is not Ariel Sharon, and every Palestinian is not a Hamas member or a Hamas supporter. And even in a place so fantastically small as the West Bank, you have such variety of life. The life for a Christian middle class Palestinian in Ramallah is very, very different than a Palestinian farmer in Jenin, which is not too far away as the crow flies, even though it's difficult to make that journey by car because there's so many Israeli checkpoints and the military occupation. But it was the complexity and the variety of life there. And I think it's particularly over the last 8 years, there's been a trend to kind of make cliches about the Muslim world that is a homogenous place, but it's not. It's full of variety.
Well, I think some like 20% of Palestinians are Christians anyway.
Well, that's pretty true in the whole diaspora, but sadly what's happened with the Christian population in Palestine over the last 60 years is that it has dwindled, mainly because a lot of Christians would have been kind of on the wealthier side and they wanted to get out, understandably, because life is so tough there because of the Israeli occupation. And so that aspect of Palestinian life it's not as big anymore.
That variety. And talk a little bit more on both sides of this conflict, because as you say, we do tend to lump in Palestinians as one homogenous group and Israelis as one homogenous group. But as you say, within Palestine, was there a surprisingly wide range of opinions towards the problem?
There is variety in political thought. There's a whole number of different political organizations. The Palestinian political affiliation has changed over the last 5 or 6 years. There's been a move away from the more secular parties such as Fatah and the PLO and more towards Hamas. That's true. Now, I don't think that's only happening for religious reasons. Like, there was a local restaurant owner in the town that I stayed in, Bir Zeit, which was a very small rural town just outside Ramallah. His name was Rami, and he was a Palestinian Christian. And I remember one night talking to him about the growth in the support for Hamas. And he said, but when anybody, no matter how atheistic you might be, if you're in a really difficult situation and you don't think you have any hope, what do you say? You go, oh, please, God, help me. And he's saying the Palestinians are in an extremely difficult situation. And in some ways, this turn to Hamas is kind of like that. Now, I don't completely agree with that. There's other reasons. Like, the shift towards Hamas has also been because Palestinians have seen corruption amongst Fatah, and that's been a lot of, like, even there was some Christian towns on the West Bank that voted for, or there was Christian votes for Hamas in the last election.
And Hamas were very well organised on the ground, and you could go to Hamas for help, whereas the PLO had become somewhat distant over a period of time.
That's very true. Like, in some of the refugee camps where Hamas be quite strong, you would see, I think, less begging than you would see in Dublin, to tell you the truth. Like, there would be less people on the streets. Now, there is poverty, terrible poverty in the Palestinian areas, but Hamas provides a social welfare net in a lot of places that is not provided by Fatah and the PA.
This sounds like a very specious question, but what do Palestinians do for fun on a Saturday night on the West Bank? Do people go out and have fun, or is there a feeling of siege all the time?
Well, you see, part of my book wanted to show that life goes on. Ordinary life goes on in an extraordinary sort of way. And that was a quote that a friend of mine, Mohammed, said to me. Now, it depends where you are on the West Bank. If you're in Jenin and Nablus, you're not nightclubbing on a Friday or Saturday night. And that's That's because of cultural reasons, but it's also because of, say, Nablus. Nablus is surrounded by an Israeli ring of steel. When you're there, you can feel just the pressure of living there, because you can't, for Palestinians, it's almost impossible to leave. So there isn't a huge leeway for much social life. But Ramallah is different. Ramallah is, now I'm not saying it's New York or Dublin in terms of served by nightclubs and pubs, but there is a social, there is a social life. There is a few nightclubs, there is a few bars and restaurants. But again, it would be different in here. Social life is split along sexual grounds. Like women go out with each other, men go out with each other. It's and separated. So it's not the same as here.
No, you wouldn't imagine it to be the same affair. But I suppose what I was driving at more was that you could arrive there and just think it was constantly at war. But as you said, despite the extraordinary circumstances, you do get normality.
Well, that's it. Like, well, the West Bank is essentially an open-air prison. But you could say, historically, in times of even worse siege, like during the siege of Leningrad, people compose operas and went to plays. And so human beings in extreme circumstances still live a life. And Palestinians do live a life. But in the end, the constraints, or the outside constraints from the Israeli occupation, is the one thing that has the biggest impact on their lives.
And in terms of the economy, because a lot of Palestinians were depending for jobs to go into Israel, that's become increasingly difficult. Has it almost gone down now to just local trade and even barter on some levels?
Well, definitely local trade, but also aid, international aid funds the economy. Like, it's, you make a good point, like in the 1980s, before the first Intifada, which is the first Palestinian uprising, a lot of Palestinians travelled from the West Bank into Israel to work in mainly menial jobs. They would have worked in the service industry and they would have sweeped the floors and jobs like that. But that, in the last 10 years, that stopped. Obviously, there's been a huge separation. There's also the wall that the Israelis have built in the West Bank. And there's a huge separation between Palestinians and Israelis. Those jobs in Israel have been mainly taken up by Southeast Asians now. And so, like, the economy, particularly in Gaza, is in a perilous state. And if it wasn't for international aid, it would probably collapse in on itself. Like, life is extremely difficult for business people there. Like, I talked to a few business people in the book. Like, there's one, there was a man who ran an argila shop in the Menara Square, which is in the centre of Ramallah. And argila is like the water pipes that they smoke in the Arab world. And I got talking to him, and he was kind of a middle-aged, he was a grumpy middle-aged man, to tell you the truth. And he had attended, many decades ago, he had attended a business university in Boston. And so he had all these ideas, but he had been kind of broken by the occupation. It was extremely difficult to run a business. And he asked me what I thought of Palestine. And I kind of gave the reflex answer of, I think it's a beautiful country and the people here are wonderful. And he just looked out his window at the broken down roads and the potholed roads and just the, like, 50-60% unemployment in Ramallah. And he just said, well, what are you saying? This is an ugly country and the people are as dumb as asses. And it's just that kind of cynicism, I think, in the amongst the business class, because it's hard to do any business in the West Bank, because to get things imported, exported, it has to go through Israel. Everything is numbered and checked by Israel. There's a siege on Gaza. So it is extremely difficult.
For as enterprise. A society, would it be fair to say that it's psychologically damaged? In a way, you could say that Northern Ireland would be, and will take a couple of generations to get over.
Well, yes, I think that's true. But that's true. Like,
is there a lack of hope there?
That's another thing that struck me when I've been back every year since 2005. But when I went in 2005 first time, I was surprised by the hopelessness amongst Palestinians. Because they were 3 years into their second intifada, the second uprising. And even though there was a lot of bravery shown in that uprising, in the end of it, they were essentially defeated. The Israelis had militarily reoccupied the West Bank even more viciously. They were building a wall inside the West Bank. And so there's no new thinking about tactically how the Palestinians are supposed to improve their situation. It's very difficult for the Palestinians. And that's why I think there's an onus on the international community and on like this kind of civil rights movement around the world who have sympathy toward the Palestinians to try to bring pressure on the Israeli government to come to a compromise.
Okay, well, we'll take a commercial break now, because your book just doesn't deal with Palestinians. There are a lot of Israelis in it as well, which makes it gives it far more interest, actually. Well, we're back in a couple of minutes.